Good evening and welcome to worship. Let's begin tonight with a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, may we feel tonight the presence of your Holy Spirit. Might we know that you are here among us. May we be guided by your word. May our hearts be open to you, that we might know and trust your peace, your guidance, and your way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Be at peace in silence as you listen for the Holy One. From Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the root of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me my life from the pit. O Lord my God, as my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon the holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the root of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars crossed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pray. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. During this silence, you are invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer, intention, or other understanding between you and God. You may also come to the prayer bench to receive prayer or anointing for yourself or another. For those of you wishing to give a tithe or an offering, you're welcome to do so as you come forward to light a candle, take communion, or at the end of worship. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I have called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you have heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the root of the mountains. I went down to the land, whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought my life from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. From Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me, and all your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the root of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought my life from the pit. O Lord my God, as my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. Failure exists in our own lives and throughout our scripture. In fact, I'm pretty sure you could just randomly open up the Bible and within a few chapters find somebody's story of failure. Because our scripture is full of people who failed, but more importantly, full of a God who didn't fail them, a God who offered them grace in the midst of failure. And one of my favorite Bible characters who fits this description is Jonah. His story of failure is just so good, because not only does he manage a pretty epic failure that ends him up in the belly of a fish, but that's actually not even his only failure in his short book. He still messes up even after he's been swallowed by a fish. But let's back up a bit and start at the beginning. Jonah is a short little book within what we call the minor prophets at the end of our Old Testament. In the beginning of the story of Jonah, God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh. But Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh because, as we will see later on, he doesn't actually want the people of Nineveh to experience grace, which is a whole nother failure that he doesn't want these people to know about the God of grace and love. But instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah decides to go to Tarshish instead. And just to be clear, Jonah going to Tarshish instead of Nineveh isn't just some sort of minor misunderstanding. Like if God called you to go to Parma and you went to North Royalton instead, so at least you were kind of headed in the right direction. This would be like God calling you to go to New York City and instead you hopping on a plane to Los Angeles. Complete opposite direction by a lot. And so Jonah gets on a boat to go to Tarshish and maybe just for a minute thinks he has gotten away from God. But then a huge storm happens, and all the sailors on the boat are praying to their gods. But Jonah doesn't pray, because he isn't yet ready to admit that his story about him and God is one of failure. Instead, he goes into the ship and falls asleep. The sailors wake him up and ask him to pray. Jonah, as far as we can tell, still doesn't pray. Then they do the ancient practice of casting lots to see whose fault the storm was, and the lot falls to Jonah. He tells them then he's not just running from any God, but the true God, who he describes as the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. At this point, Jonah admits his failure and tells the sailors to throw him overboard. The other sailors don't want to do this because they think Jonah will die if they do. So they try to get him to safety, and they, not Jonah, end up praying to God. Yet the storm doesn't relent, and so they have to throw him overboard. After this, we're told that the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now, this isn't really the point of tonight, but it's a good point, so I'm going to make it kind of as a side point before we move on, which is for you all to notice that even through Jonah's failures, that somehow these men come to believe in God. Now, of course, it's good if we're not running from God. But if we are, we know that sometimes God can use even that to bring other people to him. But moving on, Jonah goes overboard and he gets swallowed by a big fish. And for 3 days and three nights, we're told he's in the belly of the fish. Then we get to this scripture that we've read this evening. And finally, after all that has happened, Jonah prays. He admits that he has failed, that his story is one of failure. He spends pretty much the whole first half of the prayer recounting how he failed, how he is in distress, how he's crying out from the belly of Sheol, which is the Old Testament idea of hell, how by running away and by refusing to go where God has called him, he has failed and been cast off. Jonah's story about him and about God is one of failure. He messed up. He sinned. He didn't do what was right. And yet, and this is actually the key for the entire evening, every story of failure is also a story of God's grace. We see this so clearly in Jonah's story, because even as he has failed, he cries out to the God who he knows has not failed him. That's what the entire second half of the prayer is about. The God who brought Jonah's life out of the pit, who heard Jonah's prayer, who will deliver Jonah. Jonah trusts that even though he has failed, that he has run away, that he ended up in the belly of this fish, that God's grace is still with him. And always has been, even when he may not have realized it or felt it. God does indeed deliver Jonah from the belly of the fish. And in one of the most graceful moments of our scripture, God gives Jonah a second chance. For chapter 3 starts with these words. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." Jonah's failure doesn't stop God from using him. God's grace and love give him a second try. Jonah's story about himself and about God is at the same time one of Jonah's failure to follow, and also a story of God's unending grace and second chances. Now, even though none of us have ever physically been in the belly of a fish, in many ways we all know what it's like to be in the belly of a fish. We've been there. We've failed. We've messed up. We've run away. And these times, they're part of who we are, and they're part of our faith stories. And yet, we know and we believe that as much as we have failed and run, that our stories are never failures, because God's grace always prevails. Our stories, in fact, they're not really about our failures. They're about a God who never fails, a God who's always offering us grace, even when we don't see it. And these stories, they're important, because they remind us and others of the grace of God. And so we share these stories, even though it's difficult to be that vulnerable, even though it's not the most comfortable thing to do. But we're called to be people who proclaims God's grace, even when we fail. Because our failures and our mess-ups ultimately point to the grace of a God who's given us a second chance. So whether you run away to Tarshish, or are mean to a friend, or don't keep a promise to your family, or end up in the belly of a fish, we know that we are never beyond the grasp of God's grace. And those times that we know, wow, I really messed up, And we call out to God to bring our lives out from the belly of the fish. God delivers us. God gives us grace. And God gives us a second chance.